Would you turn to Genesis 46? I'd like to read the second verse of Genesis chapter 46. And God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, Here am I. I have entitled this message, Israel is Jacob. Israel is Jacob. Now, Israel and Jacob, as you know, are the same person. Israel is the grandson of Abraham. He's the son of Isaac. He's the brother of Esau. And when God speaks to him, sometimes he calls him Israel. And sometimes he calls him Jacob. But he sees him first as Israel. He couldn't speak to him if he did not see him first as Israel. He would not speak to him if he saw him only as Jacob. Now, I love the first two words of this second verse of Genesis 46. Well, let's make it the first three words. And God spake. I'm so thankful for that. God spake. I'm so thankful that God is not a silent God, but that He speaks, and He speaks in order to make Himself known. God spake, and the Lord God speaks, even now through His Word. Now, when I hear a sermon, here's what I want. I want to hear the Lord speak to me. Isn't that what you want? When you come here to hear a message, you have this purpose. You want to hear the Lord speak to you. You don't want to just hear Todd speak. That's a waste of time. You want to hear the Lord speak. And here He speaks to Israel. And God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night. God does not speak to all men. There is such a thing as the silence of God. And you know, that's something that I dread more than anything else. I don't want to deal with the silence of God. He does speak, but not to all men. He speaks to Israel. Israel means, as a prince, you have power with God. Is that your name? As a prince, as a mighty prince of God, you have power with God. Now, that's the only person He speaks to. Someone who has power with Him. And every believer is an Israel of God. And if I'm not an Israel of God, He will remain silent until judgment day. Every believer, though, is an Israel of God. And when He spoke to Israel, what did He say? Look at our text, Genesis 46:2. And God spake unto Israel, this mighty prince with God, this one who had power with God, this one who prevailed with God. And what a statement that is, to say regarding a man, you have power with God. God responds to you. God pays attention to what you have to say. That's incredible, isn't it? He says that to Israel. He says, you're a mighty prince with God. You have power with God. And God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night, and He said, Jacob, Jacob. Now, if think this is interesting. At this time, he doesn't say, Israel, Israel. He says, Jacob, Jacob. Now, the repetition of his name means several things. Jacob, Jacob. The term of endearment. That's what's meant by the repetition of this name, Jacob, Jacob. You know, when you love somebody, you like to repeat their name, don't you? Jacob, Jacob. But not only is this a term of endearment, this is an attention getter. Jacob, Jacob. Saul, Saul. Why persecutest thou me? The repetition of his name is an attention getter. Jacob, Jacob, also, when you're disappointed in somebody. Jacob, Jacob, my, my. Now, I realize that God is never disappointed. I realize that, but I also realize that the Lord is grieved with his people. Jacob, Jacob, my, my, Jacob, Jacob. Now, we know this man first, not as Israel, but as Jacob. Would you turn with me to Genesis 25? What name does the Lord God go by more than any other name in the Scripture? The God of Jacob. That's his evidently favorite name. The God of Jacob. Now look here in Genesis 25, beginning in verse 20. And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian, of Paddan Aram, the sister to Laban, the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. And the children struggled together within her. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red, all over like an hairy garment. And they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out. And his brother took hold on Esau's heel. And his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare him. Now, do you know what the name Jacob means? It means heel. He took his brother by the heel, and Jacob means literally heel. Now, you know what a heel is. When you call somebody a heel, what do you mean by that? You mean they're low down. You mean they're wrong. They're down. The heel is the lowest extremity of the body. And when we call someone a heel, it's not a compliment. The word would accurately describe Jacob's character, a heel, a supplanter, a deceiver. Turn to Genesis 27, 35, verse 35. Now this is what Esau has to say regarding his brother Jacob after his brother has swindled him. Verse 35 of Genesis 27, and he said, this is Esau speaking to Isaac, or Isaac speaking to Esau, thy brother came with subtlety, with deceit, and hath taken away thy blessing. And he, Esau, said, is not he rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. And he said, hast thou not reserved the blessing for me? Now he says, he rightly named Jacob. He is a supplanter. Now, a supplanter is somebody who takes somebody by deception. He was a conniving, manipulating, deceiving man. Now, that would describe Jacob's character. And you can't read the history of Jacob and not come up with that. I mean, you look at his first dealings with his brother. What did he do? He talked his brother into selling his birthright for a bowl of soup. Now, Esau proved what kind of man he was by selling his birthright, which indicated all the blessings of God to the firstborn. It was so valueless to him that he was willing to sell it for a bowl of soup. But I tell you what, Jacob was just as guilty for buying it for a bowl of soup. He was wrong in what he did. Now, you think about the way he did his brother later on. Do you remember when he tricked his dad? His dad was blind. His dad was going to bless the firstborn. And what does Jacob do under the inspiration of his mother? His mother says, this is what you need to do. Kill your goat. Put the hair on him. Come in. You're going to smell like Esau. You're going to feel like Esau. You take Esau's blessing. And he deceived his father. He came into the presence of his father. His father thought, are you Esau or Jacob? And Jacob said, I'm Esau. He says, well, it sounds like Jacob. Come here, son. He was lying to him. And he put his hand out there where he could feel the goat. Oh, that's hairy Esau. It must be. He smelled him. It smelled like Esau. He deceived him. Everything he did was deceptive. He was wrong. Now, I realize that was all a part of God's sovereign purpose and plan. It was said at the very beginning, the elder, Esau, is going to serve the younger. That was all part of God's sovereign plan. But that doesn't get him off the hook in any way for his deceit. What he did was wrong. What he did was sinful. What about the way he ripped off Laban? You remember how, well, Laban ripped him off too. But he ripped off Laban. He swindled him out of all of his cattle. He was a very deceitful man. I want us to look at his own summary of his life. Look in Genesis 47. You know, really, Jacob was the type of man that you despise. He was a scheming, manipulating, conniving man. Now that is the description of his character. That is how the Bible presents this man, Jacob. His name is Heel. He was rightly named Heel. Look at his own summary of his life in Genesis chapter 47, beginning in verse 8. And Pharaoh said unto Jacob, how old art thou? And Jacob said unto Pharaoh, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been. Now that's his summary of his own life. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been, and I have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the day of their pilgrimage. Now that's Jacob's description of his own life. But there was something very special about Jacob. You know what it was? What was special about Jacob? Well, let me answer that question for you. God loved him. That makes him special. God loved this man. He said, Jacob, have I loved. Now, I need to say this. If God loved everybody the way he loved Jacob, you know what that would make his love? Meaningless. But God's love is his special love. He said, when he said, I love Jacob, you know what else he said? He said, Esau, have I what? Have I hated? He said that in Malachi 1, and he said that in Romans 9:13. Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Now, why did God love Jacob? We've been talking about his character, and you look at this man, and there's not one thing, up to what we've seen, there's not one thing that's really even commendable about him. I mean, he was a deceitful man. He ripped people off. I mean, he was continually doing that. He's the type of person that disgusts you. He got through this life dishonestly and deceitfully. And every one of us, you wouldn't want to have him as your buddy. You wouldn't want to be depending on him for anything, would you? Why, I mean, what would he do to you as soon as he got a chance? Yet, God said, I love him. Now, would you turn with me to Romans chapter 9 for a moment? Verse
Verse 13, as it's written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Now look back up in verse 11. He's referring to something. Look in verse 11. For the children, Jacob and Esau, being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Now, why did God love Jacob? Well, we see from that passage of Scripture, it had absolutely nothing to do with his works, good or bad. Now, that's clear from that passage of Scripture, isn't it? Not yet born, neither having done any good or evil. Now, when I read that, you know what it does for me? It rejoices my heart. I love this. What if it said that his love to him was somehow caused by something Jacob did or didn't do? Why, that'd be bad news for me. As a matter of fact, it'd be bad news for Jacob too. Because you can't find anything about Jacob's character that would draw out God's love, can you? I mean, he was a deceitful, scheming man. But thank God, God's love doesn't have anything to do with our works, good or bad. Now, that's what the Scripture says. And you know, the only thing that would prevent somebody from rejoicing in this is self-righteousness. That's it. That's the only thing that would prevent somebody from rejoicing in this. When I read this verse of Scripture, this isn't some hard, harsh thing to me. This is good news. This gives me some hope. If he can love Jacob, he can love me. He didn't have to find a reason in Jacob to love him. He did so because he would. Turn to Deuteronomy 7. And God is speaking to Moses is speaking. God is speaking through Moses to Israel. Verse 6. Deuteronomy chapter 7. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you because you're more in number than any people, for you are the fewest of all, but because the Lord loved you. That's why I love you. Because he loved you. Here's the answer. Why does the Lord love you? Because. That's the answer the Bible gives. And if you are somebody like Jacob, if you really don't believe there's anything in you that could draw out God's love, if you really believe that, this is good news to you. You rejoice in this. Jacob. Jacob. Yes, God loved Jacob as he loves all of his people, but he loved him as Israel. When he speaks to Israel in visions of the night, saying, Jacob, Jacob. Now understand this regarding God's love. God does not, did not, and never will love anybody unconditionally. That's a misnomer. There's no such thing as unconditional love. God can't love somebody unconditionally. I mean, he's not going to violate his character. He's not going to violate his justice. He's not going to violate his holiness. God doesn't love anybody unconditionally. And let me say this, if he could love you unconditionally, he could cease to love you unconditionally too. God doesn't love anybody unconditionally. He loves Jacob as he is Israel, as he is a mighty prince with God and has power with God. Now, where does the name Israel come from? Would you turn with me to Genesis 32? I love this passage of Scripture. Now, Jacob, some 20 years before this passage of Scripture, had left town. You know why? Esau said, I'm going to kill him. And he had every reason to kill him. He stole his birthright. That deceitful act that we have already talked about in Genesis chapter 27. Esau said, I'm going to kill him. So Jacob leaves town. Now 20 years later, 20 years have passed. This is when he's got Rachel. He's got Leah. He's got 12 kids by this time and so on. He's coming back 20 years later. And he's going to try to butter up Esau. Look in verse 13. He's trying to manipulate the situation, or rather, look in verse 13. And he lodged there that same night and took of that which came to his hand, a present for Esau, his brother. You see, he's going to try to butter him up. He's always trying to manipulate the situation. 200 she-goats and 20 he-goats, 200 ewes and 20 rams, 30 milk camels with their colts, 40 kine and 10 bulls, 20 she-asses and 10 foals. And he delivered them under the hand of his servants, every drove by themselves, and said unto his servants, pass over before me, and put a space betwixt drove and drove. And he commanded the foremost, saying, when Esau my brother meeteth thee, and asketh thee, saying, whose art thou? And whither goest thou? And whose are these before thee? Thou shalt say, they be thy servant Jacob's. It's a present sent unto my lord Esau, and behold also, he's behind us. And so commanded he the second and the third and all that followed the drove, saying, on this manner shall you speak unto Esau when you find him, and say ye moreover, behold, thy servant Jacob is behind us. For he said, I'll appease him. This is what he thought he could do. He wasn't depending on the Lord to take care of this, was he? He said, I will appease him with the present that goeth before me, and afterwards I'll see his faith. Peradventure he will accept of me. Now he does all this planning and scheming. You ever done that? You plan, you scheme, you try to figure out exactly how you're going to do this, how it's going to work. Well, Jacob was doing that. Now, look in verse 21. So went the present over before him, and himself lodged that night in the company. And he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two women servants and 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook, and he sent over that he had, and Jacob was left alone. Now he's all by himself. All of his plans, he's already got all of his bases covered, and he's left alone. And the best place Jacob could ever be is to be left alone with the Lord. And look what it says. And there wrestled a man with him. Now, notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't say he wrestled a man. That man initiated this wrestling match with Jacob. Jacob didn't initiate this. This man initiated this wrestling match. And when you initiate a wrestling match, it's because you want to put your opponent down. You want to get him down. You want to have the victory over him. And his opponent was going to get him down. Now, who was his opponent? Well, look what he says himself in verse 30. This is after the wrestling match is over. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is spared. Now this one who wrestled him was nobody less than the Lord Jesus Christ. What must that have been? Well, let's go on reading. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, this man, he touched the hollow of his thigh. He dislocated his hip. Now, I can't imagine how painful that would have been. I mean, that's the biggest ball and socket joint. I mean, it was pulled all the way out. And can you imagine how painful that was? And all he had to do was touch it, and there it was. You see, in this fight, it's not like Jacob could have whipped him. You know that. The Lord Jesus was in complete control of this, but he touched the hollow of his thigh and brought it out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, now, and Jacob didn't say it until after he was disabled, until his joint was, or however you say it, ball and socket joint, whatever it was just taken away. He said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. I don't have anything else. I don't have anywhere to turn. I don't have any hope. If you don't bless me, I'm gone. I'll go to hell. I will not let you go. Except you bless me. I'm so weak. Obviously, I can't win. I can't whip you. I can't beat you, but I'm hanging on. I will not let go of you until you bless me. Have you ever been there? To where you must have His blessing. You can't walk away. You're not going to move until I won't let you go. Except you bless me. Oh, would to God that everybody in here right now will say to the Lord, hang on to His feet and say, I will not let you go except you bless me. Verse 27. And He said unto him, what's your name? Now, didn't he know what his name was? Of course he did. He has a purpose for asking this. What's your name? Jacob. Heel. Deceiver. Supplanter. That's who I am. I'm Jacob. That's who I am. Sinner. Jacob. That's me. When our Lord said, what's your name? It was to cause him to confess who he was. What's your name? Jacob. Verse 28. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. Here's the first time this name is mentioned. No longer are you Jacob, you are Israel, for as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. Now, I don't know of a more amazing verse of Scripture than that. He says to this weak, sinful man, this deceptive man, and that's how he'd made it in his life up to this point. The Lord hadn't made himself known to him yet. He was with his dislocated hip in pain. You're not Jacob anymore. You're Israel. You're a prince with God. As a prince, you have power with God. God hears what you've got to say. God responds to what you say. You have power with God. Now that's amazing, isn't it? And this is said of every believer. This is not just Jacob. This is said of every believer. This is the heritage of every single believer. As a prince, you have power with God. God hears what you've got to say. God responds to what you have to say. That's a big power with God. Power? I've got power with God? Yeah, that's what it says. Y'all wouldn't believe that if it did say it, would you? That's hard to get hold of. But it's true regarding every believer. As a prince, they have power with God. Now, how can that be? There's only one way this can be understood. How a man like Jacob can actually be Israel. A prince with God. That can only be understood in light of one of the great mysteries of the Scripture. Union with the Lord Jesus Christ. Does Christ have power with God? You know the answer to that question. He has all power with God. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 31. Now, Paul has been speaking of marriage, beginning in verse 22. And he's concluding what he says regarding marriage in verse 31. He says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. One. The two shall be one. Now, this is a great mystery. Now, by mystery, he doesn't mean something you can't understand. He means something you would have never known unless He was pleased to reveal it. Now, this is a great mystery, this whole thing of marriage. He says this is what it's all about. Christ and the church. Union with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there isn't anything that thrills me more than thinking about this thing of union with the Lord Jesus Christ. What is union with Christ? Well, the two, Christ and every believer, Christ and this individual believer. I like thinking of it that way. Christ and this individual believer, but it's also Christ and every believer, Christ and His people, Christ and His church. The two become one. Jesus Christ became, and I say this carefully, I say this reverently, I say this fearfully, I say this in awe, I say this, I don't know how else to, Christ became what I am, that I might be who He is. Christ became what I am. Would you turn with me to Psalm 22? This is the Psalm of the Cross. You know this. Psalm 22. Verse 1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now, who is speaking here? Those are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, look at this psalm. He says in verse 18, they part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. Now, isn't that speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ? Look up in verse 16. For dogs have compassed me about. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. Is that not speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ? This is Christ Jesus Himself speaking. There's no question about this. This is the Psalm of the Cross. Now look what He says. This is, look in verse 6. Now this is Jesus Christ the Lord speaking. And look at what He says regarding Himself. But I am a worm, and not even fit to be called a man. Now those are the words of our Lord. I am, He said. He didn't say it's as if I were a worm. He didn't say it's like I was a worm or I'm taking the punishment of a worm. He said, I am a worm and not even fit to be called a man. Now would that describe you? You remember when He said, fear not thou worm, Jacob? The reason He could say that is because He said, for I am a worm and no man. Now, He became what I am on the cross. Do I understand all? No, there's no way we can understand this. As a matter of fact, you know what my response to this is? Just shut up and worship. Bow down. He's to be adored. Do I understand all the implications behind this? Of course I don't. You know, the Lord made it dark while it was going on the cross, didn't He? He made the sun stop shining. It became dark. And that lets us know. We know this was a great transaction between the Father and between the Son. And we know and understand so little of it. But He said, I am a worm. But because He became what I am on the cross, I'm made to be what He is, a true Israel with God. Is He a prince with God? Does He have power with God? Must God respond to Him? Does the Father always hear Him? Is He lovely to the Father? Is He a mighty prince with God? Well, you know He is.
And so is everybody he's united to. I'm looking at a bunch of Israels. Israel, that's your name. Israel. A mighty prince with God. As a mighty prince, you have power and you prevailed. 1 John 4. Verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Now that's a remarkable statement. To have boldness in the day of judgment. I mean, to look forward to standing before God, the holy God of glory, the one who's of two pure eyes to behold iniquity, and have boldness. I mean, confidence. Not even being afraid. How could that be? How could a Jacob have boldness on the day of judgment? Well, here's the answer to that. Because as he is. How is he? Is he holy before God right now? Is he perfect? Is he righteous? Is he altogether lovely? As he is. Not so will we be. So are we in this world. You know what that means? Right back. And that's in Israel. Look back at John 17. Verse 22. And the glory which thou gavest me. Now this is the Lord speaking to his Father in that great high priestly prayer for his people. And what kind of glory did the Father give him? We can only read this and be amazed by it. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. Whatever glory Christ has clothing him as the gift of the Father, that's what every Israel has. That they may be one even as we are one. I and them and thou and me, that they may be made perfect in one. That the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Christ is the Israel of God. Every believer is the Israel of God. The glory of the gospel is that God can take a Jacob and make him an Israel. But you know why he makes him an Israel? He already was an Israel. Jacob came after that. Jacob was kind of during time, but in the mind and purpose of God, he always was an Israel. Now back to our text in Genesis 46. I'll close a couple of statements. And God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, present, here am I. Here am I. Now, although Israel is still Jacob, the Lord is still the Lord. He said in Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, I am the Lord. I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Psalm 146:5 says, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. Doesn't that make you happy? Whose hope is in the Lord his God. Israel is Jacob, and Jacob is Israel. Let's pray together. Lord, we come in your presence and